In Proverbs chapter 13, this evening we're reading from verse 16 through 21. Again, we're seeing the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. This is going to be the theme throughout the whole book. Last week we had looked at verses 14 and 15, and we actually titled that, "The Way of Transgressors is Hard." And I looked through the verses. We're going to cover, again, verse 16 through 21 and looking for a title in the verses. And I'm just going to take the title from verse 21, the first three words, "Evil pursueth sinners." That's not going to be all we're going to talk about tonight, but I'm just going to use that as a title. Notice as we read from verse 16 through 21, and next week we will finish this particular chapter. He says in verse 16, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Verse 21 now. "Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee again this evening for the privilege that You've allowed us to assemble together. And Lord, we pray tonight as we always pray, Lord, we pray for Thy blessings to be upon the reading of Thy Holy Scripture. We pray, Lord, as we come through this book in a verse-by-verse setting, Father, we just pray for Thy help and Thy leading. But Lord, we pray that we'd be obedient to the Scriptures. We pray that we'd be obedient to Thy Word that You have given to us. And we ask all of these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 16 through 21 tonight. There's several faults that we find from this. We find the subject of prudence and folly and faithfulness and unfaithfulness. There's we find several things. So we're just going slow, taking our time in a verse-by-verse setting. And again, we'll pick up in verse 22 through 25 next week. Two of those verses, is dealing with children, and leaving one is leaving children and inheritance, and the other one is speaking about "he that spareth his rod hateth his son." So we'll pick up in those sections next week. Notice as we come here in verse 16, and you've noticed that as we get farther in the book, I don't turn to all of the verses. I'll give them to you because we keep coming back to some of the same themes as we go through this book. And so as we come here, he begins in verse 16, says, "Every prudent man." Now, we've already found the prudent man. We could say the prudent woman as well. We've already seen this in chapter 12. In two different verses. But notice he said in verse 16, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly." And again, each one of these verses is a contrast between those who are following God and those who are not following God. So the word prudent basically means wise. It has the ideal of being cautious in conversation and conduct, and thinking carefully about one's decision. And so, and again, chapter 12, verse 23 says, "A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness." We will see again in chapter 15, said, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And again, I'm not going to turn to all of them, but there's so many, and we'll keep coming to them, and I'll keep making reference to this. But in chapter 22, in verse 3, and this particular verse is actually given to us twice in the Word of God. It's given again in chapter 27 and in verse 12. The Lord says, well, you didn't get it the first time, we'll give it to you again. But it's a good verse, and when we get to it, we'll probably camp out in it for at least one message. It said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It's a wonderful verse. And so in our text, he says here in chapter 13, verse 16, he said, every prudent man, so that is every wise man, every wise person, he said that every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. In other words, when he says here, dealeth with knowledge, he's talking about he acts wisely and responsibly, knowing that all true knowledge comes from God Himself. And he will grow in grace as he walks each day in his life. Very important verse, as the others. The Bible speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8. Shows us how precious and wonderful is the word of knowledge and the wisdom that we find in the Scripture. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 14 and verse 31, dealing with discipleship, counting the cost before we make decisions. It speaks of one person building something, getting halfway through the project and can't finish it. If you want the full context, it's verse 28 through 31. Again, speaking about being a follower of the Lord, disciple. That's what that word means. One who is teachable, one who is a follower. And it speaks not only of someone building something and can't finish the project, but it also speaks of a king making war, not really sitting down and thinking about it. And then when he gets in to the battle, he doesn't have what he needs to win the battle. And so many times we find this subject. I'll read one to you in 1 Corinthians 14. I think it's a very good verse on this subject. Well, I'm going to read a few in the New Testament, if you just want to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, then we'll turn to Ephesians. Then I'll just give you a few others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want to read just, I want to come down and just read one verse. And if you're taking notes, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, David's, dealing with David's army, and he mentions the tribe, the men of Issachar. They were the fewest of all. They had about 200 leaders, and they was worth probably more than most of the whole army that David had. And the verse that I just gave you, 1 Chronicles 12, 32, part of that verse says, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. There were certain ones in Israel's day at that time, they understood the times. They understood the things of God, the principle of God, and to know what to do. That was men of David's army. And we are to be the same today. We are to know what to do in our day. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're reading verse 20, and this is a very good verse. He says, brethren, be not children in understanding. Amen? We're not to be children in understanding. The Bible speaks of the foolishness as it's bound in the heart of a child. They have to grow out of that. It's just a fact. And he says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So we're to be, when he says to be men here, he's talking about being grown up. Now, in malice, things are wicked. We're not to know much about that. That's not to be a part of our life. So he says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. And understanding the truths of God's Word, let us be grown-ups and not act as children. In other words, kicking our toys around and things of that nature. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read just a few verses. Verse 17 is the verse I'm after. But if you're taking notes, Romans 16, I'll just give you this to jot down. Romans chapter 16 and in verse 19, it says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But ye, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." In other words, know a whole lot about that which is good and know very little about that which is evil. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading from verse 14. Now, verse 17 is a verse after. But in verse 14, he said, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth." Now, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to believers, and he's speaking in spiritual terms. So he says, "Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." Not talking about physical sleep, but spiritual sleep. He said in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly," that is, with a goal in mind. "Not as fools," that's what we've been reading about, the wise and the foolish in Proverbs. "Not as fools, but as wise," verse 16, "redeeming the time." We only have a certain amount of time in this world. We're to redeem it. The word redeem means to rescue, purchase it, to buy it, and to use it very wisely. I'll be going to a funeral Monday. We only have a certain amount of time on this earth. We are to use it very wisely. He said, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Now our verse, he said in verse 17, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We got several sermons and one article on the will of God. That should be our whole pursuit in life, is knowing, understanding what God's will is for our life. Because in the center of God's will is where joy and peace and happiness is. When we get out of His will is when we are miserable. Notice back with me in our text. He says in verse 16, I'm back in Proverbs now. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16, he said, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge," but here's the contrast, "but a fool layeth open his folly." The word "layeth open" here has the idea of he spreadeth and exposes his foolishness in conversation and in conduct. Several examples of that, again, chapter 12 and in verse 16, it says, "A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." And so we have the fool here that just is always running his mouth and just showing his foolishness publicly. Write down Numbers 22, 29 and 30. Balaam would be true of him, and also Goliath. Remember what Goliath did? A lot of foolish talk. And little David went out there and took his head off and took him down. That's in 1 Samuel 17, verse 44 in the surrounding text. But he did a lot of talk. He was a fool. He didn't know that God was with David. So now notice in verse 16 one more time. I want to just camp out sometimes in every one of these verses. And it definitely would take us till Jesus comes to finish the book, I guess, doing that. But I do want to do that sometimes, and because there's just so much. But he said in verse 16, he said, "Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but fools lay open his folly. Notice in verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, that is, into evil or trouble or whatever. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. And there's a multitude of verses on this. The contrast between a faithful messenger or an ambassador and an unfaithful or a wicked messenger. Notice you can write down chapter 25, verse 19. Chapter 25, verse 19. And the wicked messenger is an unfaithful messenger. Because of the lack of integrity to carry out his duty, what he does, he brings upon himself and those that are around him problems and trouble and things of that nature. Chapter 12 and verse 18, if you're taking notes, you can write this down to go along with this. It said, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. They're always speaking the truths of God's word. So the wicked messenger, he betrays trust, and he is not dependable. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read that verse I just gave you. Chapter 25 and verse 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's pretty bad, isn't it? We don't want to put confidence in an unfaithful person. And we know that as we turn to the New Testament and that we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21 is speaking to ministers there, but we all are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're representatives of Jesus Christ here upon this earth as we interact with other people. Now I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says as he writes to the Corinthians, and I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, and just listen to this. He said, let a man so account of us, speaking of ministers, and the reason I say ministers, he mentions himself and Apollos and Cephas in the previous chapter, the latter two verses. He said, let a man so count of us, as the ministers of Christ and stewards, that is an overseer of an household, as stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God are the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have here in the New Testament. But he says in verse 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's what we're looking at. In our text, we find that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 23 that I believe it was Titus and some of his companions that they were faithful ministers of the Lord, but they had been faithful and dedicated to the Apostle Paul as well. And back in our text now in chapter 13, in verse 17 again, he said, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Pretty much self-explanatory. Of course, God is called the faithful creator in 1 Peter 4:19. And we're to be faithful as God is faithful. So the faithful ambassador here in our passage, again, he brings healing. He brings hope. For he brings truth. In other words, he brings the whole counsel of God. And again, there's so many verses. Jeremiah 1:17, God is telling Jeremiah as a prophet, said, you be faithful. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, Ezekiel was considered as a watchman on the wall. In the old days, before the technology of our days, many cities, especially in biblical times and even far beyond biblical times, had walls around them to guard them. Jerusalem, for one, Babylon, and others. And they had the walls around them to secure them from the enemies. And they had watchmen on the walls that would look for the enemies. They always had watchmen. If you've been in the military, you know what it's like pulling guard duty. And so we find that Ezekiel was considered, spiritually speaking, as a watchman on the wall. He's to always be warning the people if the enemy is coming. So in verse 17, he said, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief," that is, into evil or trouble. And again, he does harm to himself and to those that he's to be, that sent him with a message. And then we find latter part of that verse, "And a faithful ambassador is health." Now, these brings healing. Let me give you two other passages. In Matthew 24, verse 44 through 51, that's coming to the latter part of that chapter, you have the contrast between the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant. And then in Matthew 25, verse 25 through, I'm going to say about 33, again, you have this contrast. You know, we have the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In other words, enter into the blessings of the Lord, the kingdom of God. And so, again, you have the contrast. He shows the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant. All right, now, again, we'll be coming to this subject again as we go through Proverbs. We'll be reminded of it a few more times before we finish the book. Notice now, as we come to verse 18, in verse 18, he says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." And so we have here honor contrasted with shame. And we find that many times in the Scripture that poverty and shame are often the Lord's rod for His wayward children. And these calamities many times are self-inflicted. The Lord will chasten His children. Chapter 3, verse 11 through 12, we spent a whole sermon on the chastening of the Lord. Again, in Hebrews 12, verse 10 and 11, and verse 25, we see this subject. But notice he said in this passage, "Now don't think that everyone is poor being chastened of the Lord." Because the majority in this world are poor, physically speaking. And the Lord said, "The poor will always be with you." Matter of fact, most of the Christians in the first century were poor. James chapter 2 and other passages tell us that. As a matter of fact, they were persecuted and they had the spoiling of their goods and those kind of things. But this is used here, honor in contrast with shame. Notice he says in verse 18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction." This is what we've seen from the beginning of the book. Starting in chapter 1 and verse 1 through 5, we have seen the issue of reproof. In chapter 12 and verse 1, he said, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Those that reject the Word of God and will not listen to God, they're as an animal, they're brutish. We also find in chapter 15 and verse 2, he said, "The tongue, the wise, uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And again, if you're taking notes, chapter 10 and verse 17. So what is reproof here in verse 18? They refuse instruction. This is, he said, "But he that regardeth reproof." So there are those that just simply refuse instructions. But there are those who regardeth reproof, and they shall be honored. One is going to be shamed and the other honored. So reproof has the ideal of instruction, advice, and counsel. The counsel from the Lord. What does it mean here to be honored? It's the opposite of, again, shame. And there's a passage, it basically means to be enriched with grace and glory, to be honored by the Lord. And I'll give you an example of that. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, not in chapter 1, it'll be 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I'll read just a couple of verses there, 1 Samuel chapter 2, just giving an example of this. And I probably need to read from verse 27, but verse 30 is the actual verse, if you're taking notes, to write down, because toward the end of that verse, it says, well, let me just read from verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli. Now, Eli was a priest, and Eli had some sons that were basically wicked. And Eli did not restrain his sons. You'll read about that in chapter 3 when he sent Samuel to give him the message, to tell him what was getting ready to take place. Judgment was coming. He did not restrain his sons. So he says in verse 27, there came a man of God, and Eli said to him, this is an unnamed prophet evidently, said, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Notice he's reminding him of where they came from. We need to remind ourselves of that sometime. He's saying, I took you out of Egypt. But he also says in verse 28, because Eli is a priest, and he said in verse 28, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer up mine altar and to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? So Eli is a descendant of the priesthood. He said in verse 28, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honoreth thy sons above me. Underline that in scriptures. He honored his sons above God, and I've seen many parents do that over the years. As a matter of fact, he refused to restrain them in chapter 2 and verse 30, and it cost the lives of his sons and himself. So he says here, and I've commanded in my habitation, verse 29, and honors thy sons above me to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Verse 30, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We preached the message two Wednesdays ago titled Despising God's Word in chapter 13. Well, notice now as we go back, so God honors those that honors Him, and He'll despise those that despise Him. Chapter 13, verse 13 says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. He said in verse 15 of chapter 13, the way of transgressors is hard. Now notice as we come back and reading verse 18 one more time, he says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof, notice, shall be honored. That is to be honored by God. And that's a wonderful thing. That's to be enriched with His grace and His glory and His favor. To have the favor of God is greater than having the favor of all the men on the face of the earth. Now notice the next verse. As we come now to verse 19. He said, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Again, there's the contrast. Well, the first thing that he says, he speaks of the desire of the righteous. He said that the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. In other words, an honest desire for the things of God and the things that are good and the things that are right. What does it do? It brings sweetness to the soul. A godly person feels satisfaction when they obtain the desires of this life. I'm talking about the things that are good, the things that are righteous. There's a satisfaction there, is there not? There's a peace and a joy that comes with that. Some verses, if you want to write them down. Chapter 10, verse 24. Chapter 10 and verse 24. The latter part of that verse, he's contrasting here too. The latter part says, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. In chapter 12 and verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. I just read that a moment ago. And then also in Psalms, you can write down Psalms 17, verse 15. Now there's many more. I just pick out a few. There's hundreds, literally. So, notice the latter part of verse 19. He said, let me read it all. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Here's the opposite of this. But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Abomination. Write down chapter 15 and in verse 21. Chapter 15 and verse 21. So, what is he saying here? A fool will not surrender his pleasures or his will to the Lord. He will cling to his sin and his evil and his rebellion. In other words, he is mastered by his own lust. And we see this in our world today. A fool hangs on to his sin. He will not turn loose of them and surrender them and receive the Lord. I'll give you an example of this. This is a little story that I've kept for years. I just titled it The Monkey in the Jar, and I'm going to read it to you. It's not an exact quote, and it's having to do with the ideal of hanging on to sin and not turning loose of it. It says, some native Africans trap monkeys by putting nuts in a jar with a narrow neck and tie the jar securely. When he makes a fist, you know, put your hand in the jar to get it. When he makes a fist, and that's he cannot get his hand out of the jar and won't turn loose, so he's caught. That's what the fool does. He can't turn loose of his sin. Men won't turn loose of their sin, so they're eventually destroyed. That monkey puts his hand in there and gets hold of a nut. He ain't going to turn loose of that nut, so they catch the monkey and probably eat the monkey. So he doesn't get to eat the nut. All right, now let's come back to chapter 13. This time, notice with me in verse, coming to verse 20. Two more verses in verse 20. He said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you see how we could camp out here one verse at a time? Yes. I may finish this and want to come back and do that in a few years. This is a verse all by itself. Yes. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. That's not all of that verse, is it? Let me make sure. And here's the thing. The context is dealing with doctrine, dealing with false doctrine, but this will work anywhere. He says, yes, he says, first of all, be not deceived. Be not deceived. I thought there was more there. Be not deceived. He says, evil communications corrupt good manners. We become like the company we keep. One writer said, show me his companions and I'll tell you the man. How do we choose our friends? Not just young people. We're always picking on the young people. You know, and you can look at people and look at their friends and tell something about them, whether they be young or be old. So many verses that we could give on this. He says, verse 20, he that walketh, the word walketh has the ideal of being associated with, being a companion with, to be attached to. And so he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. We're talking about biblical wisdom now. Walking, in other words, if we hang out with those who love God, I just have a feeling that we'll somewhere down the road start loving God. But if we hang out with those who do not love God, we're going to become like them. To give you an example of this, Ephesians 5, verse 11 and 12. You don't have to turn there. But Ephesians 5, verse 11 and 12, should have read this while there. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Psalms 1, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. Psalms 1 and verse 1. We sing this, but let me just read the first verse. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we need to be very careful, extremely careful as to who our friends are. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22 through 24 that Enoch walked with God. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, the first five or six verses, that he pleased God. He walked with God and was pleasing to God. What about the prodigal son going to his father and said, I want my inheritance? Well, he teamed up with some folks that just about destroyed his life until he repented and went back to his father's house. So he says here, in this passage, he said in verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. They shall be broken. They shall come to their end. And again, there's so many. I'm sure you're sitting there thinking right now, okay, here's a verse and over here's a verse. And I could give you a multitude of examples how men and women have destroyed their life by the friends that they hang around with. Literally destroy their lives. Now let's bring this to a close in the next verse. This is a very sobering verse. I brought the title from this. But he said in verse 21, he said, evil pursueth sinners. Here's the contrast. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. Now, I want you to think about this. Evil pursueth sinners. We find that it hunts them down and it overtakes them. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 4:7, God told Cain, he said, sin lieth at the door. In other words, he had a choice with the sacrifice that he brought before God. He disobeyed God. And he's mentioned in the New Testament as an evil man. And he went out from the presence of the Lord after he had killed his brother. God put him out. He went out from the presence of the Lord. But he says he told him, and this was in the beginning, Cain had a choice. And this is something we need to always remember. There's some circles, by the way. There's some circles that believe that some are predestinated to go to hell and that can't be changed. And there's some predestinated to go to heaven and no one has a choice in that. And that's not true biblical doctrine. He told Cain that if he would do what was right, that he would be accepted. But he also told him, he said, sin lieth at the door. What does that mean? It's as a wild beast. Ready to destroy. He said that's what sin is like. And Cain chose sin and Abel chose righteousness. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23 says, "Be sure your sin shall find you out." We can't hide from it. So when he says here in this passage, evil pursueth sinners, they will be punished. They shall not escape. And this is showing us the truth about lawlessness. We think sometimes people get by with things. No one gets by. As a matter of fact, and if you'll write down Exodus 17:14, Moses made a prophecy that the Amalekites, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, Amalek, the king at that time, said that they would be destroyed. 400 years went by in 1 Samuel 15, they were destroyed. God was in no hurry for that, but He destroyed that nation. And so a lot of people think they get by. Joab thought so in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 28 through 31. But he finally caught up with him and he came to his end. Write down Psalms 32:10. This is a passage that David is writing. And then in Proverbs 11 and verse 6. What about Romans 6:23? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's close in Galatians chapter 6. So we find that evil pursueth sinners. It will chase them down. It will hunt them down. It will find them. It will overtake them and punish, and they shall be destroyed. So Galatians chapter 6, and I want to read, and now we're talking about the positive side. We're closing. The good shall be repaid. What does that mean? It's a promise to righteousness. It's a promise to the righteous, I should say, that they shall be rewarded. And we see that all through the Scripture, Old and New Testament. So notice now as we come to Galatians chapter 6, and I want to begin reading in verse 6 down through verse 10. This will be where that we will close at. And he says, beginning in verse 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived." There's that phrase again. Be not deceived. He says, "God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." That's just a fact. And he said in verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We see the contrast. Then verse 9 and 10, "Let us," that is the Christian, the believer, "let us not be weary in well-doing." It's easy to get weary, isn't it? When you live in this world. And you'll find that people will stand against the truths of God's Word. And I say this all the time, we're in a battle. We're on a battleground, spiritually speaking. But he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not," verse 10, "and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Would you stand with me? Father, thank you this evening for this time you've given us, and we ask your blessings now upon the remaining of the service, the singing, the prayer request. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this week that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that we'll take these scriptures and meditate upon them, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.